What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, as always. You know who I am. The man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio, huh? It's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. It is August 22nd, and guys, I hope you're having a great week so far. I know I'm having a great week. You know me. I'm always having a great time. Have a great time all the time. That's what I say. Had a great week. Had an awesome weekend too. I'm telling you, filled with Dungeons and Dragons, filled with cold Blue Moon beers with orange slices because I like to be super fancy. And also a lot of pay-per-view wrestling. I'm talking NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3, absolutely high quality pay-per-view. If you're a wrestling fan, every match was fantastic on that one. That's a must-see. Could not recommend that enough. And then SummerSlam the next day, a lot of highs on that, a few lows, you know how it goes. But the good definitely outweighed the bad, I feel, as a whole over the whole show. So there's not much more you can ask for from a WWE pay-per-view than that. You know what I'm saying? You can't please everybody, but that one did a great job of pleasing me. But guys, I'm not here to talk about how pleased I am about wrestling the whole show. But I talk about wrestling because I love wrestling. And Dustin Rawlings from Order of Leviathan likes wrestling. And I sit down and talk to him. I also talk to Levi Crandall from Order of Leviathan. Why? Because I have Order of Leviathan on the show today. You guys already know that. You probably read the description already. You probably saw the title. But, dude, those guys came into the studio. Great band, Louisville black metal band, and we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about a little metal here, guys. We're going to get pretty hardcore, but also we're going to talk about everything and nothing. One of my favorite parts of podcasting in general, one of my favorite aspects of the medium is that you don't necessarily have to promote something or have a clear-cut focus or something like that. We're talking about their music. We're going to play the music. We're going to be talking about their upcoming appearance in the Louisville Death Fest. But also, too, we're talking about motorcycles. We're talking about Metallica. We're talking about our favorite dog. We're talking about Reba McEntire. We're talking about a bunch of stuff on this one today. Very easy, very seamless podcast. I was very proud of how it turned out. Loved it. Had a great time. A lot of fun with those guys. And then right afterwards, Levi and I pretty much started partying, hung out all night, and listened to nothing but classic country music. So if you want to hang out and listen to classic country music, you know two dudes that are going to be really into doing that. So, guys, yeah. So I thank you so much for tuning in today. Also want to thank our sponsor, Shane at AudiophileInc.com, for making this podcast happen, dude. His merchandise, I sell it. My merchandise, he makes it, I sell it, I make a profit, it keeps the show in business. So if you guys do like the show, you want to support it, you can always donate, that's one thing, but I prefer you get something in return. So grab a t-shirt, grab a koozie from me, hit me up at seanversuswild@gmail.com if you're local, because let's just save on shipping, you know what I'm saying? Let's make it as economical as possible for everybody. But you want to go to Shane at audiophileinc.com, because what he did for me, he can do for you. He can print your merchandise, and he can do it at the best deal in town. No matter what town you live in, he's going to ship to all 50 nifty United States, give you the designs that you want printed right on the brands that you love. So, you know, if you want an Anvil shirt, you got it. If you want a Toltec shirt, you got it. You want American Apparel, whatever. Just get whatever you want. Basketball shorts, dude, everybody loves basketball shorts. They're hardcore, brother. Get you some hardcore basketball shorts. Get you some tank tops. Get you a t-shirt. Rip the sleeves off of it, dude. Get you a cool bandana. Whatever it is that you want, Shane's going to get you taken care of. So you're going to go to Shane at AudiophileInc.com. AudiophileInc.com. Shane at AudiophileInc.com. And you tell him the Wild Man sent you, and he's going to get you set up. And also about getting you set up, the one dude that's going to do that for you, when you're feeling down and you need someone to crank the podcast volume up, then you need to hang out with Joe Brock, because if you wanted the best, you got the best. That dude is the best, and he helps me out every single week with the show, making me sound like $100. You know what he does? Everybody knows what he does. He slaves in the studio day in and day out, wearing no shirt and just like tying a towel over his head because it's so hot and hard labor to make me sound good. He's booping those dials. That's what he's doing, guys. He boops the dials each and every week to make me sound great. So I got to give it up to Joe Brock. What a great dude. And I mean, he's got a full schedule. I'm talking a lady friend. I'm talking a baby. I'm talking a full-time job. I'm talking a full-time band. You know him from Foxbat. If you haven't listened to the Foxbat episode, do that. Or if you haven't listened to episode 2 with Joe Brock, do that. That's the man. And he can set you up too. So get in touch with Joe Brock if you want like a BA riff written for your podcast. He did the music for mine. So if you love that Sean versus Wild intro music and outro music each and every week, that's Joe Brock too. I just can't say enough about these guys, Shane, Joe, and you know who else I can't say enough about? You, the listener. Thanks so much for tuning in, keeping the show afloat. Appreciate you guys checking out the show, giving it a chance. That means a lot, you know what I'm saying? And I've seen a lot of new listenership coming down the pike, so the numbers are getting up there. If you like what you're doing, we can't stop now, guys. I mean, we gained a little bit in listenership, but we still got a long way to go, so can't stop now. If you like what you hear, please like, share, and subscribe, or follow it on the social media of your choice. If you have an iPhone, dude, it's on iTunes. If you have an Android, it's on Stitcher, it's on Podcast Addict, it's wherever you get your podcast. So feel free to subscribe, write a review. Something as simple as a 5-star review that says, hey, dude, this show rocks. I'll take it. You know what I'm saying? Every single bit helps. It helps with the visibility. Tell a friend. That's cheap and easy. Tell an enemy that you hate. Also relatively inexpensive. And you can just be thrilled at the fact that you recommended them a crap podcast and they're going to be sitting here listening to it and hating it. So, yeah, guys, I appreciate all that you do. And, yeah, so that's going to be it for me. I've rambled on long enough. I want you to put on all black. I want you to cut the sleeves off of whatever you're wearing. I want you to take your hair, grow it down to your ass, okay? Put your eyeliner on, yeah, dude, get ready for some black metal, brother. It's going to happen. It's going to hit you right in the face. I got Order Leviathan on the show this week. Guys, let's get wild. I've not seen a more glorious just introduction than when you pulled up on your motorcycle with just like a Motorhead sleeveless t-shirt on and all black motorcycle. You're wearing all black, and then you just like gloriously ride around my neighborhood on a cycle.
I just want people to see me, man.
That was one of the greatest entrances ever, man.
And hey, don't discount the fucking all black Ford Focus stuff.
The all black Ford. Y'all are metaled out.
We
bro.
Have to coordinate vehicles.
All murdered out.
Golfed dude. Out, y'all.
We're like golfed out. We love golf. We're really into golf, obviously.
Just a bunch of golf.
666
playing golf.
Pinester.
We're the Jack Nicklaus of golf.
That's right. Jack Nicholson. I loved him as the Joker.
Dude, I loved him as the
just
jester.
A phase.
It's not just a phase. Yeah, dude. And you come in, dude. You're like wearing your basketball shorts. You got your sleeveless tee on, looking like Travis Tritt. Looking like Travis Tritt up in
thanks, this. Dog. I love that.
Travis Fit over here.
Travis Fit. Most glorious long hair. My mother, if she would just see you, she'd be like, he has just the prettiest head of hair I've ever seen.
Man, that's fantastic. I thank you all so much for that. I really don't do anything to it. I take a shower and I go to bed and I wake up and here we are.
And here we are. You don't even run a comb through it?
Maybe about 3 days into the process, I'll do a light brushing and that's it.
That's about it. You look like
3 days.
It looks like Marsha Brady, like where you probably just do like 500 brushes on one side and then 500 brushes on the other.
Well, I mean, when confronted with evidence such as that, I'm afraid I can't do anything but plead the fifth.
Plead the fifth.
Just a special wolf hair brush.
It's goat hair, actually. You're
for the viewers, or rather listeners, that don't know what I look like, this is probably weird.
Yeah, you look like a really thin...
I got hair down on my fucking ass, y'all.
You look like a thin, in-shape Travis Tritt.
Travis Fit, man.
Travis Fit.
Man, that's fantastic.
And we got Dustin here, who just looks like the alpha male up in this piece. Long, flowing hair, great beard, coming up on a motorcycle. Just looks like Mr. Steal Your Girl.
I guess, man.
You have nothing to say about it? He's like, yeah, I guess so.
Whatever, man.
It is what it is. All right, guys. Well, you're listening to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, as always, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith. And I'm enjoying Coors Lights today with Levi from Order of Leviathan. And I'm enjoying tap water with Dustin from Order of Leviathan. Yep. They're joining me in the studio today. Thanks so much, guys, for stopping by the Smithsonian.
Thanks so much for having us, man.
Yeah, the Smithsonian. Dude, I lit a Harvest Spice candle, which has been kind of a popular topic on the podcast because I recently got it and I was like, oh, hey, August already, but Harvest Spice is coming out.
I mean, realistically, when we think about it, my birthday, October 2nd, kicking off the fucking harvest month, less than 2 months away.
True.
That's scary.
But don't you think it's strange, though, that it's like just now August, and then they're like, oh, guess what? It's August. We got to have Halloween stuff out.
I'm all right with it.
For me, I would still be like, hey, man, give me some more 4th of July stuff.
Hey, I agree, man. I need America.
Because I'm a true blue American, I need an American flag candle, not a Harvest Spice candle, which we've also decided that Harvest Spice will be Dustin's Spice Girl name.
That's correct, and I'm probably Sporty Spice, realistically. You see the basketball shorts.
That's true.
The flowing beard as well.
Sporty Spice.
Clearly, that's basketball.
Harvest Spice. Yeah, you look like a real baller, man. I thought, I was like, is this Dan Marley coming up here? Is this Detlef Schrempf?
He's from Indiana.
That's true, man. Well, I don't think he's from Indiana originally.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Because I'm sure that dude is probably from Germany originally. Sure. With a name like Detlef Schrempf.
He's stationed in Indiana, I guess I should say.
He's a transplant, transplanted to Indiana. Well, guys, how's everything been going, man? I'm glad that you guys were able to join me today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been going pretty well. Last two Sundays we've had shows. We did Louisville is Dead 2 weeks ago, and then last week we played at Magbar with our friends in Day Up Scufa.
What's that all about? Or how was that, I guess I should say?
Both are pretty good. This was the second year that they've done Louisville's Dead?
Yeah.
And this was our first year on it. I loved it. I thought Art Sanctuary was awesome.
I gotta say, I agree totally with Dustin. Art Sanctuary was an awesome venue. I think it was one of our better shows, performance-wise, and some of the feedback we've gotten from the crowd, like, it was just... There was definitely a palpable energy there. It was awesome.
It's palpable.
Palpable, that's right. That means you can feel it in the air, like it's a pair of you titties right in front of your face.
You can slice it with a buck knife. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I imagine that was a difficult stage to play on, because just being there, I've played many stages like this before. It's probably like playing like a gym or something. Mm-hmm. Was it like that, where you just like play and then everything that you've played just... hits you right back in a millisecond later, because it's just such a big open room?
Yeah, it was a little bit. I mean, there were quite a few people when we played, thankfully, so that helped with the acoustics.
Cool brag. Well, we sold it out. I'm not trying to brag.
Not even close.
Not at all. Not at all.
But the issue is, I was, you know, you saw the size of the stage. I was on the opposite side of Levi, so I could barely even hear them.
Yeah.
But it seems like they're still kind of dialing that place in, so.
It's a cool venue, honestly. Mm-hmm. I'm just glad to see any venue new that opens up.
There are so many places in Louisville, but even southern Indiana, that are just completely wasted, that I feel could be an amazing haven for art and music, that are just going stagnant.
Yeah, Magbar has kind of been our staple go-to.
I haven't been to Magbar in a hot minute. The last time I went to Magbar, it's been a few years ago, I was going every once in a while, and then rando, like everybody, male or female, it was like overnight, everybody just started dressing like the girl with the dragon tattoo. And it was just like, I was like, oh, I don't fit in here.
Yeah.
And then I just haven't been back since. But I'll go back again one day.
Sure,
probably.
Sure. You should come see us next time we're there. We don't have anything booked for there currently, but you know where.
But like, you know we'll be there, dude. Yeah. This is our
we're
haven,
always
brother.
Playing there.
It's just one of those nice kind of hole in the wall. Like, the sound's always good there.
Yeah.
I mean,
the beer's cheap. The sound's good. The people are friendly. The crowds show up even on fucking Sunday at 2 a.m. or whatever it is. Like, I mean,
that's awesome.
You can't really ask for more when it comes to local metal.
They've got a built-in crowd there.
Yeah,
they really do.
Apparently, we get drink tickets.
Apparently, we do. Dustin, you're straight edge, though, so you don't ever get to partake in those.
This is very true.
Well, here's the deal. I'm the drummer, so you might as well just be straight
edge.
But
I do partake in Pizza Donisi next door and get some of those tots.
That's fantastic.
Give me some of your tots.
Oh, God. Terrible movie.
It was always one of those things where I wouldn't drink before I would play. Because I'm like, okay, I'm the drummer, and if I drink a lot, I'm going to play crappy, or I'm going to puke, because I have so much cardio that I'm doing here. So it'd be one of those things, like, we got drink tickets, guys. Fantastic. By the time I get off the stage ready to have a beer, they're like, you don't have any more drink tickets left. We've all drank them all.
Yeah.
Like, how many did we have? You had 100. Really? really?
Thankfully, there's only 3 of the 5 of us that are playing in the band currently that even use the tickets, you know.
Perfect.
I have to, well, I mean, not have to. I play sober when I need
absolutely
to.
Absolutely have to.
I love to just drink a whole lot of beer before I play.
I got to cut the edge.
State-dependent learning, man. You know, if you get drunk at practice, you know, it helps to get drunk at shows.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I was just too much cardio. I would just puke. I got drunk before a show one time, and that was in 2004, and I never did it again. I learned my lesson. But then again, here I am drinking a Coors Light during the podcast.
This is a little bit different, a little less physical, I would say.
That's true. Yeah, I'm not doing as much cardio. I am doing a lot of cardio, as you guys can see.
Yeah. That thumb, it's going.
That's true, man. I had to take my phone off the table because it vibrated after I told everybody, put your phones on silent.
Yeah. I just prefer when we're out there on the road anyway, just to find little coffee shops. That's my go-to.
Mr. Coffee Man. No drugs, but caffeine has a grip on him.
Hey, man, that's just the way it is. If you're sober, you got to do a lot of
coffee. Also do the majority of the driving on the road, so
that's,
it helps.
That's true. He's great at that. I don't do too well when it comes to nighttime driving. I tend to doze off.
Really?
Yeah. What was it, like the last date we played? Columbia, South Carolina. Yeah,
and Columbia, South America.
Yeah, we immediately after playing that, packed up and drove to Bardstown, Kentucky, just straight through the night, listening to podcasts the whole way.
Well, hey, now you got a brand new podcast you can check out. You can check out the Sean vs. Wild podcast with y'all on it.
I'm gonna listen to the one with all of us first, and then I'm going to go back. Like, I'm going to Quentin Tarantino it, and I'm going to start at the beginning, and then I'm going to jump to the middle, and then I'm going to maybe go back a little bit more, and then by the end, by the time all's said and done, I'm going to watch them all.
Not much to watch, but I listen to him. I love it, though, if anybody listens to the podcast, because whenever I have, like, a lot of really good friends on the show, we all just talk to each other in a very thick accent that we don't normally have.
It's fantastic. It's one of the best parts about living where we live is you can be a, I'm doing air quotes here, a normal person and not
For those of you watching at home.
Yeah, for those of y'all watching at home, I'm moving my my fingers up and down on a rhythmic manner to denote parentheses around this quote.
I'm doing bunny ears here.
But you can totally live in this area as a quote-unquote normal person and not have a southern accent. True. And just be an objective viewer and just love everybody that we live around. Like, hey, y'all, man, I've been working on my lawnmower all weekend.
Dude, hell yeah. Dude, you got a Cub Cadet? So do I. Fantastic.
I love it. It's like a, it's a fucking zoo.
Yeah.
But just in IRL.
Isn't it so weird, though? Like, okay, I could not have an accent, but my next-door neighbor that's grown up with me my whole life could have the thickest drawl ever.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we are in this world.
It's fantastic. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, so, guys, let's talk about Order of Leviathan. How was Louisville's Dead Fest? Because I got to lie to you. Well, I'm going to lie to you. I can't lie to you. I don't know what else to say. I didn't make it to Sunday, which was a real bummer, even though I paid for Sunday.
Oh, I noticed.
I paid for Sunday. You know what happened? I ended up hosting a band over at my house Saturday night, which you'll catch them on the podcast, Chico and Lollipop. Hosted a band at my house Saturday night, and by the time they left, I was like, oh, hey, I'm going to eat a little something, and I'm going to go to the show. And literally, I just fell right asleep on the couch, and I woke up to my roommate saying, hey, your laundry's done, and I was like, what day is it?
Brother, you just described like 4 or 5 of my 7 days a week right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, dude. When I like growing up, raised by my grandparents, my grandpa would come home from work and then randomly sit in the chair and always fall asleep. Now I get that. As an adult, I actually get it now.
Oh, yeah. I didn't take naps when I was a kid. I thought they were stupid.
Yeah,
I hated them.
This is for weak. This is weakness, leaving the body.
Yeah. And then I got older, and I was like, man, it's like 11:30, and I'm dragging.
Yeah, 11:30 a.m.
Yeah.
I've been up for...
Yeah, 11:30 a.m., and I'm dragging. About one hits, and I'm just like, all right, I'm going to see y'all about 4.
I need a 5-hour energy. I'm not going to lie. I actually just woke up right before you guys got here. I may have had some drinks last night, and... had some plans and stuff today, and ended up just falling asleep instead.
Brother, I may have had some drinks immediately before coming here.
Hey, brother.
I've had water.
You got to stay hydrated out there when you're out there on the bike.
I think you
bro.
Asked about Louisville is dead, actually, but we all
you know what? We're just going to sidestep it. All your professional business, who cares? People are just here to talk about
Dustin, why don't
the
you
liquids.
Louisville's dead was good. I really liked it. I mean, Foxback killed it. Blind Scryer, who you should have on here.
Blind Scryer
was
absolutely
really good.
Wow. I've been telling all the guys in my band for months, Blind Scryer is probably, honestly, if I'm taking ego out of the equation, probably the best band in Louisville right now that I've heard. They're
just to check them out.
They're utterly fantastic, and I can't back them enough. I do everything I can to make sure I'm present whenever they
Well, you
play
are wearing
here.
A Blind Scryer. Scryer t-shirt and Blind Scryer gym shorts and Blind Scryer socks and Blind Scryer Tom's.
And I actually have a Blind Scryer butt plug in right now.
Dude,
as well.
You're going to love this. Oh. I'm wearing my Blind Scryer bandana, brother.
But know? Yeah, it was good. I mean, turnout seemed to be good. You know, a lot of old faces, new faces. Yeah, overall, it was a lot of fun.
I know personally, I put a lot into that performance because I knew so many people there. I always, you know, really put my effort into it whenever we play, but I really, really tried to deliver at this performance because there were just so many people from Louisville that I knew there. I feel like I really had to bring my A game.
Yeah, I don't blame you on that. It seems like it's going to be a great fest. I can't wait to check it out next. Maybe next year I can do a little sponsorship or something. You know what? For the powers that be, hit me up on that.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Maybe do a live podcast.
You know what?
That'd be pretty
tight. It could
be
a thing. Yeah. Hey, dude, they had fire breathers and magicians there. I could easily just do a 5-minute podcast at a time.
This was very true. And plus, it was cool because it was an all ages. Like, most of ours are 21 and up or something like that, you know, especially with us playing Magbar and other kind of bar venues. So it was cool to see, a younger crowd.
That's a good point that Dustin brought up. I thought it was really cool to see. I just saw so many new faces. You know, whenever you play out at a lot of 21 and up events, you know, you tend to recognize people that you see coming to shows. But I saw so many new people there. I saw kids with their parents that like had tattoos and stuff and had obviously been
the
around.
Kids had tattoos.
Yeah, that's right.
So, hey, man, they must have signed a waiver because these kids are all tatted up.
They was tatted as fuck, brother.
As fuck, brother.
But no, I just thought it was pretty cool, you know, to see like just alternative families, so to speak. And
well, let me ask you this too. Being like, I guess you would consider it black metal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Music black metal.
That's what we're rooted in, yeah.
I feel like it's kind of a, like maybe a niche type genre. So you probably just see the same. Do you see a lot of like just the same type of people, I guess? Like you just see a lot of people wearing black.
I can tell you, vests or leather jackets. One thing that frustrates me personally about black metal, I'm kind of known for my eccentric style. I would like to wear a lot of vintage.
Color.
Yeah, a lot of vintage shirts like Reba McEntire and Miller Lite and stuff like that. But, you know, I think black metal in general, although I love the music, the scene takes itself so seriously. It's to the point of self-parody.
Right.
Like, it's just the average person that sees that stuff is just going to laugh their ass off whenever they see some of that stuff. And I don't know. I'm glad that our sound is rooted in black metal, but I'm glad that we've done what we can to distance ourselves from true cult black metal or whatever you want to call it.
But you guys do have quite an amazing live show from what I hear. That's just what I heard. I heard there's
thank you.
Is there some sort of, let's talk about your use of theatrics at the show. I heard recently that you've been using a lot of animal blood. And by say recently, I mean Dustin told me that a couple years ago.
We toned that down.
Yeah, that's something that whenever we were kind of striving to find our place within the black metal community and where exactly we stood, we experimented with a lot of different things. Like our earlier work, our first EP, is definitely reminiscent in some areas of Watain. And Watain is known for using the blood. You know, we really looked up to them at that point in time, and we still do, but we've incorporated a lot more elements than just the black metal. So I don't want to say that, you know, that's juvenile or anything, but we have outgrown that in particular as our band.
Right.
Well, to me too, it's one of those where when you speak of theatrics, I think you can look at what we're really striving to be, which is rock and roll.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's one of those where when we're asked to kind of put a, you know, finger on exactly what we are, it's like, well, the devil invented rock and roll. Why do you need anything more than that?
Right.
So, you know, it's, you know, I guess to say fun to kind of, you know, do theatrics and stuff, but at the same time, you don't need it.
Yeah.
So why not just strip it down and just play rock and roll?
We don't
want to
do anything disingenuous.
Yeah.
Ultimately is what it comes down to.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, man, like you can see here, got my Kiss poster. I got the four elders of Kiss overlooking our podcast right
now. Absolutely.
But I mean, that's a band like the theatrics and stuff like that for any music is it's a big thing for me. Like, I love to go see a show and get more than just four geeks off the street. playing music, you know what I'm saying? I want something a little extra. Yeah, I want something valuable of my ticket, whether that ticket cost me $5 or it cost me $500.
No, I agree. Yeah, you should always try to bring that that unknown element, that X factor, so
to speak. And I mean, don't get me wrong, we've incorporated different stuff. Like, I'm normally burning incense, or occasionally we'll bring out a fog machine or something like that. I mean, just to kind of set the mood, so to speak, you know.
And that's one thing I got to give Dustin credit for. Dustin has probably the best stage presence of anybody in the band.
Yeah, because he's gorgeous. Have you seen this guy? Jeez.
I'm so focused on what I'm doing, you know. I mean, I do my best to move around, but there's a lot of times where some of the stuff I'm playing is fairly difficult, and I need to focus on what I'm doing. So I'm somewhat still, but I during those moments, I can count on Dustin. If I glance over, he's going crazy pretty much any time.
Yeah. Let me ask you, how does one get into it? I'm a big fan of metal, okay? Mm-hmm. I love, and music in general, and I love all different genres, whether we're talking Reba or not. You know, we're talking Reba or Garth, whatever. I like country and Western.
The two genres.
Yeah, I love both
Reba
genres.
Reba and Garth.
Country and Western. But how does, like, where's an accessible point where someone like me, who loves music, loves heavy music, can kind of get aboard the black metal train? Because I like you guys a lot, but I don't listen to any other black metal at all.
I would say hop onto Reign Chaos. Dissection's that's Reign
a,
Chaos,
that's
I
a
think
great
would be
answer.
One of the most accessible.
Dissection, and as a little bit of backstory, they have, although far, far greater than us, they have somewhat of a similar trajectory to us so far. Their original music that they came out with was very second wave black metal, very Norse oriented. And their third album, their third full length, Reign Chaos, was just black and roll, so to speak. They pretty much pioneered a new genre where they took rock and roll elements and slowed things down and relied on feeling instead of just tremolo picking as fast as they could and icy cold riffs. And they kind of we're kind of that middle ground, I would say. So that's a great familiarity point. If you like our specific version of black metal, if you listen to Reign Chaos, you're going to find some stuff that's similar, but you're also going to find some stuff that's totally different as well. And it might be enough to grab you and kind of take you in that direction.
I am like a rocker, I guess. So rock and roll, metal, anything that has a great groove. And I feel like sometimes black metal is so much just like blast beats and shredding as fast as possible with growling vocals. So like, I just haven't found that one thing besides, you know, like you guys, but I haven't found that one, I guess, mainstream or more like mass loved band that is in that genre that has pushed me over the edge yet. So I will definitely check them out.
Yeah. And I can tell you personally, a band that has been a huge influence on my guitar playing is Naglfar from Sweden.
Mm-hmm. All the best metal comes from Sweden. So.
Sweden, Finland, Norway, that whole Scandinavian area. Yeah, absolutely.
The newest Black Anvil was really good too. And they're from New York, I believe.
Oh, hey.
Black Anvil.
I'm actually not
familiar. Really good. Yeah. I don't know.
I'll check them out then. Hey, USA. USA. USA.
Yeah, I think people would be surprised at some of the stuff that we listen to just in general in the van. We had days where it was just The Cure and The Smiths. And then, what was it, on the way to Charlotte where we had like a 90s hip-hop day?
Yeah, we had probably a solid 2 or 3 hours that we devoted to 90s hip-hop. All of the guys in the band have pretty diverse music tastes, but I actually don't listen to very much metal at all. I listen to mostly indie rock, kind of like Minus the Bear.
Well, that kind of leads me into the next question is, now, Dustin, I've known you for a long time, and Levi, I've known you a long time, but I just don't feel like we've sat down and we're able to just kind of discuss on a like one-on-one level, like what you're into. But like Dustin and Levi, what bands, I guess, got you into playing music in general then? I guess that would be my question.
Oh, God. I don't really know. I could go through what I grew up listening to, which was, you know, Zeppelin and like Aerosmith and Skinner, and just, you know, that's what was kind of presented to me at the time. And then Metallica, as I think was for most people our age, my kind of gateway band in the metal. But then, you know, as I got older, like right now it's kind of what it's been for a few years, which is just kind of like heavy Converge, heavy, you know, Motorhead, stuff like that. And, you know, like where I can actually hear the bass really well, you know, heavy Type O Negative.
You know, what I like about Motorhead is like when you listen to their album, I mean, when you listen to an album now, like, it's so mastered, like what's called brick walled mastered, where it's so loud, everything, no matter what, is like as loud as it can possibly be. Mm-hmm. What I love about, like, when you go back and listen to like a Motorhead album, like, it's a quiet album and you have the ability to just crank it up.
Yeah.
Like, you can actually listen to it past like a 3 or 4 volume. You're like, you know what? I'm going to crank this up.
And that's something on the original Yngwie Malmsteen albums as well that I really love.
Is that what,
very soft.
Is that where you kind of cut your teeth with Yngwie Malmsteen?
Well, not directly. There was a road that went to that. This is kind of funny, but I think one of my first observances of heavy music, as far as like in a mainstream sense, was Creed's Higher.
Yeah,
remember that?
You seem like a big Creed fan, right?
Man,
now.
Back in the day, I was. I loved Creed and
Human Clay. Oh hell yes.
Oh hell yes, brother, indeed. But you know, stuff like that, I heard it, and you know, once I had repeated listens, I got bored with it and stuff like that. But that got me listening to rock radio, because I actually grew up on country. I grew up on Reba McEntire, Alan Jackson, Garth Brooks,
George Strait,
Brooks and Dunn, George Strait, all that
Travis
stuff.
Travis Tritt.
That's Travis. Randy Travis. Tritt. Randy Travis.
Man, Randy Travis might have the greatest voice for country music.
It's effortless. It's like he just opens his mouth and just warm sorghum pulls out. You know what I'm saying?
Like sweet molasses.
But anyway, so I mean, I grew up on country, and then, you know, like that one Creed song was really popular, and that was cool. So I started listening to rock radio, and I heard some stuff. I heard the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I thought that was really cool. I know that's such a polarizing band for some people, but I thought it was really cool how they brought the funk, but it was undeniably rock at the same time.
Yeah.
There was such a groove there. From there, I started listening to Metallica. Metallica took me completely. It grabbed a hold of me and did not let go. There was a time when any Metallica song that was on the radio, I could at least play the main riffs of it just from jamming around on my piece of shit first act guitar that I had back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how it was year one. There's not a Metallica song that I probably haven't mastered yet.
Yeah.
And on drums, because Lars Ulrich is such a great drummer.
And, you know, Metallica was such a gateway drug, so to speak. That got me into a little bit heavier thrash, like Exodus. And it got me into a little more epic stuff like Iron Maiden. And Metallica, like I said, it was such a gateway into getting me. It was a hub for so many different genres of metal that it ultimately led me to. And metal is such a multifaceted genre, and it gets shit on by a lot of people. And you know, it's really,
I can agree with that.
It's really easy to get bored with a lot of the stuff, but at the same time, there's so many gems in there that it's ridiculous.
Well, you know, the band for me, I guess the first band, that, because I grew up listening to country music also. I guess just country music is just so big when we were kids, you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely,
it was Garth country, you know what I'm saying? Like, Garth Brooks was ruling music. And I've said it on the podcast before, but it's like, you know, Garth Brooks was the greatest selling artist of the 90s, like, outsold everybody. So, especially in our town here, like,
hey brother, I got a theory that like Garth Brooks is the alter ego and Chris Gaines is the real guy.
Chris Gaines is the real guy, dude. Look, it's a conspiracy theory. I don't know if the government's going to allow me to talk about this.
Chris Gaines did 9/11, I think.
Dude, oh geez. But like Queen was like the first band that I was like, oh dude, yeah, like this is fantastic. But Kiss was also like, once I saw Kiss with the theatrics and the theatricality again, like going back to I always want to see something more than just four or five dudes, like, you know what I'm saying, off the street playing. Mm-hmm. And Kiss was like that band. But from there it was like, you know, my sister's boyfriend at the time, I was like in sixth grade, and he's like, hey man, you like Kiss? Well, here's this Black Sabbath album. And I heard it and I was like, this is a game changer.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
this is a game changer,
man. Black Sabbath was a huge game changer for me personally, like once I had discovered Metallica and, you know, gone on to heavier music and all that sort of thing. Because I think every teenager that is a metal fan kind of has that phase where they're like, man, if it doesn't have like harsh screams and growls, it sucks.
Yeah,
you know, this sort of thing. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was in that phase where I was just like, man, if this isn't brutal, it sucks. And I like really listened to Black Sabbath, not just like the shit that was on the radio, but you know, like NIB,
yeah,
Master Sweet of Leaf. Reality, Sweet Leaf. Oh man, yeah.
Sweet
That's
Leaf.
The jam. I just listened to it last night, actually.
Oh, yeah. Stuff like that. And I was just like, holy shit, man. Like, there is not a scream to be found in this stuff. And it's way heavier than some of the shit I'm listening to.
Dude, to me, Black Sabbath may be the greatest... Maybe the greatest band of all time. Besides Queen. I like Queen a lot. But as far as the greatest heavy band, I think Black Sabbath might be. It's the godfather.
I was lucky enough to see them for the first time ever in Noblesville last August. It was just about a year ago, actually.
Did Rival Sons open up for them?
It was just Black Sabbath, actually. There was no other band.
On their farewell tour?
Yeah.
Gotcha. I wanted to go so bad, but I couldn't afford the tickets.
And they still kick so much ass. All original members except for the drummer, and they were still fantastic.
Did they get like Vinny Appice?
I don't remember the guy's name, but he was a young guy. He played without a shirt, lots of tattoos.
Oh, gotcha. I thought they might get like Vinny Appice, who was like the drummer that replaced Bill Ward during like the Dio years. And then he went on to play drums with Dio.
Yeah.
That's one person that I wish that I could have seen.
Oh, man.
I wish I had gotten into Dio earlier, but it's a later in life thing. I found Rainbow and Dio, and I was like, oh man, I really wish that I could have been there.
Yeah, as long as you eventually get into it, that's what matters.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't matter when you get to the party, as long as you get to the party.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So let me ask you this question. Do you think Metallica is good in retrospect?
Oh,
let me ask you guys this question. Do you think Metallica, in retrospect, like when you think of Metallica right now and you just kind of take in everything that they've done,
all right,
and you lay it out on a table, do you think Metallica is good or what?
I've got to answer this question before Dustin does, because this is something I'm extremely passionate about. As we both discussed, you know, Metallica was a gateway drug for both of us. However, I understand Metallica's artistic journey, I think. I fucking love Metallica. Okay, I think we can all agree Saint Anger was shit. I mean, they were going through a rough time, and it was a bad album.
I love that documentary. I love Some Kind of Monster.
I'm not going to sit here and defend Saint Anger because it's not a good album.
Have you heard Lulu?
I heard like 2 minutes of it.
Yeah, but that's
it's 2 minutes.
I feel
much.
Like Lulu isn't even a serious project and doesn't deserve to be brought up.
Okay, right we now. Won't talk about it.
But because you know, it was meant to be like an art house album with Lou Reed and all that sort of thing. Saint Anger, obviously not a good album. I'm not going to defend it. I get the whole sort of going from heavy thrash to wanting to go to more radio friendly stuff, but still retaining an edge. The Black Album was awesome. Load and Reload overall, but there were still some really good songs there.
I think
there.
That Load and Reload has aged pretty well
absolutely.
Over time.
I think
honestly.
You could absolutely. Take parts of each and make a solid album.
Yeah.
Right, but
I don't think either album was terrible. I think that there were some definite
songs
that were better
than
others.
Nothing had existed before it. I think it would have been
right.
You know, a better listen. But I remember getting Injustice for All, and we used to go, like my family would go to Florida for a few days during the summer, and all I did for the drive down and back was listen to Injustice for All and go around the shops down there. And I think I bought some like double XL, like Pusshead Metallica shirt just because Perfect. That's all I could find.
The second album I ever bought with my own money was Ride the Lightning. The nice. First so was Black Sails in the Sunset from AFI.
Nice. That's a great one.
That's something we should touch on later. But
we will. Dustin, I know you love AFI.
We all love AFI. Yeah. But to continue with this Metallica, though, this is where a lot of people, it's polarizing. I think Death Magnetic was a fantastic album.
I do, too. I think I think
Death Magnetic was so good. The riffs were awesome. The choruses were awesome. The solos were great. It was classic Metallica, and for whatever reason, people just wanted to shit on it.
Well, I think the production is probably why people didn't like it so much, because that production, again, when it comes to like brick wall mastering and stuff like that.
No, I agree with
that
you
that production is
couldn't hold a candle to their first four.
Yeah. Right.
Well, the Black Album, the production's so good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's Bob Rock right there.
Yeah. But
I think the thing is, after they did that with Bob Rock, I think they should have gone on to different producers, because I think Bob Rock essentially wanted to become that member of Metallica.
Maybe. So. I don't know. I love Death Magnetic, the music of it, and when you listen to it on like whenever it would come on like FM radio, you like listen to it on the Fox, I'm like, this is awesome. But when you hear the CD, you're like, man, this is very, very hot
not
in the mix.
That well, yeah.
So maybe that's why people. No, I thought it was great. I haven't listened to the new album all that
I
much.
I think that's
though.
A valid criticism. And to tie into what you just said, I think the new album is so great. It's a double album. There's some fantastic tracks on there. And one thing that I love, to me as a listener, and you know everybody's different, to me it marries the style of the first four albums with the radio-friendly heaviness of the Black Album. And I feel like it's a perfect representation of the classic Metallica that I love.
Right.
For example, they have a song called Spit Out the Bone.
Right.
That is just Jesus Christ heavy. One of those sort of things. And it's so pissed off. And I love it. For me, it's a total return to form of the whole late 80s, early 90s Metallica. Yeah. Everything that I grew up on. So for me, it's a fucking perfect album. And I love it. And I just saw Metallica live back in June in St. Louis, and it was one of the best shows I've
ever
been
to. Was
Lars
on point?
Lars was totally on point.
I find that hard to believe.
It was
he
pretty,
just stood up.
Well, I mean, everybody...
They've got a young guy in the back.
Everybody loves to shit on Lars because he's not an extravagant drummer, but I think what he does works very well for the songs.
As a drummer, when I... Check out Lars. Like, I think that on the record, like, I'm perfectly fine with what he does. I just, for some reason, when you watch him live, like it's polarizing for me because, like, I'm just like, you know what? I think people are, when I listen to the album, I'm like, man, people are really crapping on Lars, and they shouldn't because it's very solid and very much like my style of drums. Like, I don't want to hear too much drums. I want to hear just enough drums. I want to hear what's right for the music.
Yeah, I've always thought that he's done a good job of dialing it back and not going into that insane territory.
But also, too, when I watch him play, sometimes the things that he is playing and ad-libbing, I'm like, how long have you been playing drums? Because you're doing some real rookie-level fills here.
Well, that's almost on that same where they had Cliff Burton. And then right. I love Newstead as well. For Trujillo, while an amazing bassist, just what are you doing? You know, kind of that whole, maybe, isn't he like from California?
Well, their
like,
newer album,
maybe it's
he
like
shines
a surf.
A lot
well,
more,
yeah, that's still. What I'm saying. He's, he's a hell of a musician, but the whole kind of like sumo walk
crab
around, walking. Yeah, crab walk thing. I couldn't imagine doing that. Like,
he did not really
sore,
do
yeah.
that when I saw them this summer. Yeah. That may have just been a phase. I don't know.
Maybe. He did a lot. What was the live movie that they put out?
Into the Never?
Yeah.
Man, I love
it's
that.
It's so good.
It's
and he
awesome.
Kills it in...
Have you seen that, Sean?
I haven't seen it, no.
Hey, man, you'll have to come over and share
yeah,
some Chad Blasters
really
and
good.
Watch that with
yeah.
me sometime.
I'm down with it.
Yeah.
I heard everyone screaming.
Yeah, it's on... It's on Spotify, too. I've actually listened to it, you know, a handful of times. I mean, he kills it there. I mean, the whole thing as a whole, like, even you can tell with, you know, Hetfield's vocals changing over time. I thought it
I think
well.
James Hetfield is easily the standout member of Metallica. Not just as,
yeah,
not
for
just as
sure.
a vocalist, because I think his vocals are great for metal.
He downpicks almost everything that he plays on guitar.
But as a riff writer and a rhythm...
With astounding riff accuracy. And he also does the classical solo in Master of Puppets, which that was so cool to see live.
Are you a big Megadeth fan? Do you guys are into Megadeth at all?
I really enjoy some Megadeth, but the issue is it's just like, what is it, every week, Dave Mustaine?
Right.
And so it's one of those, I can appreciate them on both levels.
Right.
I'll be honest here. I've never been a big Megadeth fan. I think they have some killer riffs. They have some amazing solos. I'll go ahead on record and say Hangar 18 is one of the best fucking metal songs ever written. That song's incredible. But I've just never been a huge fan of that band overall because Dave Mustaine's vocals are very hit or miss to me. It seems like on some songs they sound great, like Symphony of Destruction or Hangar 18, like I just mentioned. And then others, I'm just like,
hello, me. It's the real me. I feel that Megadeth, I feel a couple ways. One, Megadeth might be a band that would benefit from actually having like a great lead singer. Like if Megadeth had like say Sebastian Bach on vocals, you know it would be insane. But also too, I on the opposite side of the coin, I feel like Megadeth, it took me a long time to get into them, but as a whole, like I think that they might be better than Metallica as a whole.
I mean, I'll disagree with that personally, but I mean really opinions, I mean it. Who gives a shit?
It might be just one of those things, though. They put out good albums. Like, where Metallica... The thing is Metallica will put out an album once every five, 6 years. And some of them are real hits, and some of them are real misses. Yeah. So imagine for 10 years, the only album that you got from your favorite band was Saint Anger. That would suck. Whereas Megadeth is a band that puts out an album every year or two.
Yeah, one thing I will say to your credit, like I said, I have not been the biggest Megadeth fan in my life. However, I saw Megadeth with Iron Maiden in Nashville maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago. Who knows? I smoke a lot of weed. But they were fucking amazing.
I imagine they were.
I mean, they were like 10 out of 10 perfect. They hit every note, and it was incredible.
Also, kind of a big thing for Megadeth, though, like it's kind of hard to compare them because at least Metallica, minus, you know, their bass slot, Metallica's had the same lineup since the beginning, whereas Megadeth
revolving door.
Yeah, it's a revolving door. So, you know, Dave Mustaine has always been there shredding, ripping on the guitar, and then he'll be like, oh,
just ripping. I'll get Hayton Blacks.
I'll get some people from Angra to be in this new album. Okay, great. You know what I'm saying? Like, I guess I can see why maybe, you know, they might have the ability to keep on progressing because it's just a revolving door of musicians. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whatever, guys. You know what? We're not here to talk about Megadeth and Metallica. We're here to talk about Order of Leviathan.
Hey, I agree, but I think we're just here to have a good time, and I'd say mission fucking accomplished so far.
Hell yeah, dude.
How about another one of these? You got one of those?
Dude,
handy?
We'll get another one, and the thing is, we'll do that coming up. We'll do that right now, because you know what? Let's go ahead and take a minute. You guys have prepared a piece for the show today. A song called Phlegmatic Eye.
Yes.
Phlegmatic, comma, eye.
This is true.
Correct. I am the one that is phlegmatic.
I like what you've done there. And so tell me about the song, and then let's go ahead and just rip into it.
We recorded with the old Jordan Haynes.
Oh, Jordan Haynes, a name staple that always comes up on the old podcast.
Because he's fucking the best around, man. Mm-hmm. He's the best in the business, and
he's
I love him.
He's the best around. Only recorded vocal right there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, other than that, I mean, it's a pretty solid, rounded song, so it's not just one or two riffs straight through.
I can tell you, that's a song that I mostly wrote. I wrote everything other than the clean part. The clean guitar part, that's where Derek, the other guitar player, Derek Tipton in our band, he totally shines when it comes to clean guitar parts. Like, he's great at picking out bluesy leads and clean guitar parts. So whenever we needed a clean guitar part for this song, he just automatically had one. It's crazy. He's almost like a riff encyclopedia when it comes to stuff like that. But this particular riff, the opening riff, and subsequently it comes up a couple times, for me, Alice in Chains was a huge inspiration for this.
Nice.
I'm a big, big Alice in Chains fan, specifically, you know, Jerry Cantrell. I think he's a fantastic guitar player. I even listen to his solo stuff. Mm-hmm. I just think he's fantastic. He's got a really good grasp of the instrument, and I'll never have that, but, you know, I'll try to get there. And this particular riff, by no means would I say I ripped him off, but in the style of Jerry Cantrell, that sort of thing.
We're channeling Jerry Cantrell on this one.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, let's, without any further ado, let's go ahead and get to the song. This is Phlegmatic Eye by Order of Leviathan.
We'll be right back.
All right, everybody. You know, that was Order of Leviathan with Phlegmatic Eye. And the suspense was killing us. I just, like, allowed it to go a little bit longer while we were all, like, you know, I was, like, putting a marker to some paper and you were getting a beer. What are you doing over there now?
I was going to try to take a picture of
us. Here we are live tweeting this, brother.
Podcast, but it's not really. I don't know. Maybe I got some. Maybe I didn't. Who knows? We can fucking take a picture.
This podcasting is such a visual art form.
It's such a visual art form.
Hey, I told y'all, you got viewers. You got to capitalize on the viewers.
Your viewership.
Man. You ain't putting out visual content. You ain't shit.
That's true, man. My next year two, I'm gonna try to make this a YouTube channel.
Year two. No. This is Batman now. This is year one. No.
But I'm just going to get Dustin on there because he's much better looking, and he'll just lip sync everything that I say on the podcast.
Milli Vanilli style.
Like, hi, I'm Sean. No, you're Dustin. Not anymore. No.
That is one thing I like about the Rogan podcast.
Look at me. I'm the Sean
now. You
can
actually kind of watch people interacting.
Joe Rogan's a jam. I've been really into Joe Rogan, especially like a few months ago. Like, Joe Rogan's one of my favorite podcasters, and he's like the goal, the hero of mine, where I'm like, I want mine to be like his. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Well, his stuff with Tyson is so good. Where I think I actually had plans. It was like a Friday or Saturday night. I had plans to go out, you know, and hang out with some people. And I got sucked into the Rogan and Neil deGrasse Tyson talk. I think it's like 3 hours. Yeah. And I got up to leave and I was just like, no, I'm not feeling so good. I'm going to sit down and just hang out. And I just thought that was my Friday night.
You know what? I'm not feeling it, guys.
Yeah.
I've actually never really listened to the Joe Rogan podcast.
It's so good.
It's good, man. Yeah. You got to find the guest. That's the thing. He has a ton. Yeah. He has like almost 1,000 podcasts to choose from.
I've heard some excerpts, and some of them are just like so alpha male douchey that it just kind of turned me off to the whole thing.
That's kind of the cool thing is that he has, you know, your, like your UFC fighters and stuff like that. But then he'll also have, like, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson on there. Or there was another physicist, I can't remember what the guy's name was, that was on there not long ago.
I'm a big Neil deGrasse Tyson fan. I think he can be a little overzealous sometimes.
I agree.
Yeah. Well,
but I think his heart's in the right place, his brain's in the right place.
For sure. Or his one with Kevin Smith is really good.
That's another guy.
Henry Rollins.
The Henry Rollins one's. I think that's one of the few I listened to.
The Leah Remini one about Scientology was good.
I bet that would honestly be a pretty good. We were talking about Scientology earlier. Yeah.
He had Alex Jones on there, and apparently, him and Alex Jones have been like really good friends for like 15
years.
That's
so crazy. And just that in and of itself makes me never want to listen to it. Just the fact that he's been good friends with Alex Jones. Because Alex Jones is such a fucking piece of shit.
We got the documents. You hear me? You hear me, government? We got the documents. We're making the fucking frogs gay!
I mean, that's literally Alex Jones.
I think he's
Have you ever seen the Alex Jones videos where they've taken him and they've put him over like black metal, or they've put him over death metal or anything like that? It is literally.
I haven't, but I will right after.
I've got him saved on my phone, brother. As soon as we're done here.
Jamie Foxx was pretty good too.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx is a really good guest. Mm-hmm.
Jamie Foxx is a really good actor,
dude, and a really great singer and a really great piano player. Is there anything Jamie Foxx can't do, listeners? If you're if you know something that Jamie Foxx can't do, go ahead and message me, because chances are there's not going to be a big list. He's great.
No, he's a vision.
He's funny. He can act. He's charming. Great singer. Great actor. Great musician.
Yeah.
Great rapper.
Sure. I've never heard him rap, but I believe
it. Good look.
Good look, dog.
You've made it.
We've said dog a lot today due to a dinner time conversation before this.
Yeah, well, don't leave me in suspense, dog.
Well, we've just started saying dog a lot due to kind of an inside joke, and I don't know.
You can't share the joke with everybody.
I mean, the joke is literally just calling each other dog. I mean, I never claimed it was funny.
Oh, gotcha. What's your favorite dog?
A husky, for sure.
Gotcha.
I own 3 of them. They're just they're the best dogs.
I should have known that. What about you, Dustin?
I don't know.
If he says anything other than husky, it ain't right.
I feel like Sharpay would be my jam. Yeah.
Sharpays are pretty
good. They're wrinkly. I'm wrinkly. It is what it is.
I do love huskies, but I feel like anywhere I moved for like the past couple places I've lived, dachshunds have been present. Like, I lived with Biff for a while, and there was a dachshund, and Then, like, I moved into my current place that I've been for a few years, and there's a miniature dachshund.
Yeah.
And so I guess dachshunds and I just hang out. There's not really a dog that I don't like.
I've never asked someone, what's your favorite dog on the podcast?
No. So well, hey, I'm glad that I could be
Is there a more metal dog than a husky, though?
No, because huskies, by their nature, have kind of built-in corpse paint a lot of the times.
And they look, I mean, you know, that's... That looks like a wolf.
And
it's the closest thing to a wolf, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. Evolutionarily and genetically, yeah. I have three of them. I have one that's mostly black. I have one that's mostly red and one that's mostly white. So I love that I have like a whole spectrum of like husky wolf dog.
I've got it. Every color has been represented faithfully. You know, speaking of evolutionary to the wolf, do you know what dog, oddly enough, the only reason why I know this is because my mother had this breed of dog, is really close evolutionarily to the wolf, is the Shih Tzu. It's like a direct descendant. It's like, I guess they ranked them like, you know, these are like the top five dogs that are most like the damn wolf. Yeah. And the Shih Tzu's in that top five. I was like, what?
I mean,
it's an ancient breed.
You know,
apparently.
Any breed comes from the wolf.
Like that's true.
Any dog breed, but yeah, it's really cool how some of them have higher genetic dispositions than others when it comes to their ancestors.
Now, where would Danzig rank?
Yeah, that's true.
In that, evolutionarily speaking,
do you ever think that there's a time when Danzig maybe needs to wear a shirt that isn't super tight?
Around this latest album, maybe.
Like Danzig, if there's ever a time where you wore a shirt that was like, I don't know, fitting and not so much skin tight, this is it. This is it, Danzig.
Now
he's a cat person. He's a cat person.
He puts on a good show live.
What do you think about cat people? Are you a cat person? Or
obviously a dog person. I kind of been forced into being a cat person. anyone that follows me on Instagram or my Snapchats are mainly like my roommates also have two cats. One being exceptionally large, and she just decided Topanga's. Yeah. But I think we weighed her. She's like 12 pounds, something like that. She just decided that we were going to hang out. And so that's what we do. If I'm hanging out at home, like I'll be downstairs brushing my teeth and I hear fat ass plopping down the stairs. And yeah, so she's just decided that we're best friends.
Topanga is a great name for a cat.
Yeah,
I got to give you props.
Yeah. Well, they have Corey and Topanga. Yeah. They adopted them. They're brother and sister.
I got to give props to that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, working in, I'm going to give you a little glimpse behind the curtain. I work with a lot of pets in my day-to-day job, selling pet insurance. Yeah. Yeah, you heard it first, guys. I don't podcast for a living yet, but at this moment, I'm selling pet insurance, and I talk to a lot of people, and they're like, this dog's name's Bella. Have you ever heard that before? And I'm like, yes, I hear it every day.
No, never.
Oh, Bella, where did you get that? Or what about Loki?
Was that from Twilight?
Yeah. Hey, dude, is that from Twiglet? Y'all, dude, this is Bella and this is Edward from Twiglet.
Man, I like cats.
You like Twilight? I know that's where you're going. You said cats last minute, but you meant to say Twilight.
I was like, I like Edward, Jacob, Bella. Cats.
Team Edward. I mean, cats.
Yeah, don't say Twilight. Don't say Twilight. Cats. I like cats. Mm-hmm. I definitely like cats. A lot of them I'm allergic to. Like, I can be around them, but when it comes to me, like, petting them, and then if I accidentally touch my face or whatever. But I've dated a couple girls that have had cats, and it's been, like, hell every time I've slept over there. But I just recently went to visit a friend of mine down in North Carolina. She had a cat. Did not bother me at all. So that cat was fantastic. I cuddled with it. I loved it. It got all the attention that I wish
so
I could have.
Hypoallergenic.
I wish I could have given all the attention to the other previous cats. I gave it to that cat. That sort of thing.
Gotcha. Well, let me ask you this question. I had it written down. I don't know. How does one? What is it about black metal? I guess what you guys are doing here. I don't want to get too deep into it. You asked me not to, but I'm going to touch on the subject here. What is it that appeals to you guys about black metal, I guess? Let's phrase it that way.
Okay. Specifically, one thing that drew me to black metal was just when we're talking about like diminished chords and like harmonic minor tremolo picking and stuff, like the specific musical instruments or musical elements rather of black metal, I think it sounds so cold and so evil.
So, like, iced earth.
Yeah, like, it just... the overall atmosphere to it, there's a darkness to it, and I really like that. And I know Dustin can definitely agree with me here. I've always been a big fan of Halloween, and it's almost...
I was unaware.
I was unaware. It's almost like, you know, the riffs kind of remind you of, like, that dark... Sleepy Hollow,
yeah,
Halloween sort of.
I have a lot of albums,
Dead Trees, Winter, you know, that sort of thing.
I have a lot of albums that I really like, and I feel like the reason why I like them is because it reminds me of like a specific season or time in my life.
Yeah,
and they're always, it's always like autumn, like
and black metal, winter. Black. I know I mentioned Naglfar earlier in the podcast. They were a big influence on me. They have a specific song, "When Autumn Storms Come." That's a fantastic song, and it's just all the atmosphere tends to, for me personally, kind of deduct to the whole autumn, winter, dying, death, cold, that sort of thing. And I tend to be a pretty positive person, so this is a really good kind of counterbalance for me.
I feel that.
Yeah.
What about you, Dustin? How did you get into black metal? Because honestly, I've known you for a long time, and I didn't necessarily know if this would be a fit for you.
I had a little bit of a hand in it.
Yeah, I've always kind of been a fan of just abrasive music in general.
Yes, I've known that for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So it was kind of an easy fit for me. You know, it was one of those where I grew up in the, you know, I guess in the metal hardcore, dare I say metalcore kind of scene.
Dare I say.
Right?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
It's kind of
it.
A dirty word.
I'll allow it. Okay.
God, I still fucking love some Hemza, though. Yeah. But it was one of those where, you know, I wasn't as familiar with it, but it was a very easy kind of transition as far as playing with that. And it's just one of those where it's, you know, I get to see myself go down a different musical path. So, you know, it forced me to progress and push myself as a player.
I also want to talk to you about this because I don't know how many people are going to be into it, and I don't know how much you can talk about it, Levi, personally. But what do you think about Aleister Black, bro?
Oh, God. I am so stoked. Oh, Tommy End?
Tommy End. Yeah. What do you think about Tommy End?
Oh, so stoked. Yeah, love it. Really excited for his match with Hideo Itami.
We're both big wrestling fans, Dustin and I, guys. And if you don't know, you need to check out the entrance for Aleister Black in NXT, or just check out Tommy End, which was his name everywhere else before, like, 6 months ago.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool they're letting him do everything.
Dude, that Nosferatu entrance is brutally great.
I think I may have showed you, Levi. Like, I
don't think you did. I feel like I would remember that.
I know I showed a few people that was like, I know you don't even like wrestling, this and that. Yeah, I hope they don't give him one of those pushes where he goes to the main roster and then just nothing happens, you know?
I don't know.
Like, look at Ty Dillinger, unfortunately. I mean...
I thought they just gave Ty Dillinger... Like, I thought Ty Dillinger was good.
Yeah.
But I thought, like, eventually they're just like, you know what? This guy's been here for a long time. Yeah. Let's go ahead and move him up.
Yeah.
And he wasn't my dude in NXT, and he's definitely not my dude in WWE. But I will say that Breezango, man, they're killing it right now.
Yeah. I mean, I love Ty Dillinger. I think his whole Tim thing has gotten over really big. But getting back to, Aleister Black, I mean, yeah, I'm a big fan.
But it's kind of neat to just see somebody that represents your community.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like when CM Punk was a huge deal. Like, a lot of people I know that like punk music or they're straight edge or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, my God, there's a representative on the big one of the biggest stages, you know, on television, representing my community.
Well, it's cool too. I think I first found out about him back when he was Tommy End. He was on Cabana's podcast, and then seeing how inner circled he is with, you know, like, I've seen Andy from Every Time I Die tweeting about him a handful of times and stuff, and I chatted with Aleister, I guess he was Tommy back then, a couple times. We were talking about the new Exorcist TV show.
That's awesome.
And just super, super nice guy.
You know, I saw him retweet that he was listening to Knocked Loose the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, props to those guys. That's gotta be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big ups to them.
Yeah.
Oh, Levi, have we bored you to death now that we're talking about wrestling?
Yeah. No, no.
Hey, dude,
not
I haven't been able to talk for like 2 minutes. I don't like this.
Yeah,
I didn't say anything. Yeah. I was just watching you guys.
Yeah, dude, your hair is so long, by the way.
It really is, man.
I'm just looking at that.
It fucking gets down there.
Your hair is in your crack, right?
It is.
Right now. Yeah. Sorry, Dustin, go ahead, brother. I didn't mean to.
I was just going to say that it's another one where I'm looking more forward to a takeover than I am the actual main roster pay-per-view.
Dude, I'm just bummed that they didn't give. I'm kind of bummed about that match. Like, I think it's going to be sick. But I'm kind of bummed that they didn't put KO, Cassius Ohno, against Hideo Itami for takeover.
Yeah.
Like, they built it up for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then it was like, hey, takeover's in 2 weeks. Yeah. You're not going to fight him.
I kind of feel bad for Hideo, just how much he was getting hurt and everything. And honestly, it's one of those where, as much as I want, you know, Black to go over on Itami, I wouldn't...
That means win, guys.
Yeah. I wouldn't be upset if Hideo won this. He needs a win.
Yeah, he does. Know?
I'm more upset, more than anything, with what they're doing with Nakamura.
Really? I mean, yeah. he's about to beat Jinder Mahal.
And then what's going to happen after he wins?
I don't know. He's just going to be the man, like he always is.
Yeah, see, I'm scared that Corbin, they're going to have cash in. But my thing is, how many nicknames do they need to give him?
Hey, man, I mean, he's the king artist, the king of strong style.
Or the rock star. Like, rock you star. Don't need that many many nicknames. Just let him be Nakamura.
That's what you are, Dustin. You're, from now on, you are the king of bass style and the artist.
What was it I had on the road? The king of snack style.
The king of snack. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I'm the guy that's always eating on the road.
Hey, Dustin, not even on the road, man. You're always eating and you're always shitting. Those are the two things he does.
I very much enjoy pooping in different states. I'm just like, we cross the state line while I'm driving, so I'm pulling over.
I like the whole process from beginning to end. The eating, yep, and then the releasing.
Yep. And the somewhere in the middle, the going to as many Starbucks as possible.
Yeah. I did go to a lot of Starbucks.
I mentioned this before. I'm like, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just a stickler. Or maybe I'm a cheapskate. I don't know. But there's a few things I just don't want to buy when I'm out in public. Coffee being one of them, because I'm like, coffee costs a nickel to make at home.
I go to
spaghetti. I will not buy spaghetti at all. Like, I'm like, dude, this costs a dollar to make. I'm not going to go out and spend $20 on it.
I'll do the gas station coffee that's like $89.99, that sort of thing. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I like to go to coffee houses from time to time, but as far as like an everyday sort of thing, no, not me. This guy.
See, my thing is, you know,
when, coffee artisan.
When we're playing, most
I'll drink some fucking Folgers. I don't give a shit.
Like, 9 times out of 10, we're playing a bar, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm getting fucking tap water. You know?
Yeah, they don't have a lot of coffee there.
Yeah.
And if it is, you don't want to drink it.
We were playing one coffee shop this last tour, and it ended up like, who was it that was playing the same night? So
Obituary.
Obituary was playing the same night that we were, so they canceled the show. So that's my thing when we're out. I kind of like to find little, you know, independent coffee shops and just kind of get, you know, an idea of the local.
He likes to find coffee shops and then shit in them.
Hey, man. Like I said, it's the whole it's a circle of life.
Yeah, but unfortunately, this last tour, we were so busy that it was basically the same drink from Starbucks every time. Yeah, it keeps me regular, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, you are the most regular Joe, literally.
See what you did there.
The coffee, man.
That was good. That was a very excellent double pun.
Yeah, I like that. All right, guys, well, let's end on a high note here. And as we are winding down, I can't believe we're winding down already, because we'll just have to come back and do 1,000 more podcasts because we have so much to talk about. And I feel like we didn't even really get into the meat of potatoes, meat and potatoes. But people out there that are listening know that you guys are radical. So that's always a good thing. Where can people find out more about Order of Leviathan on the line? On the line.
On the one line that we all share between the world. The
Do you have like a 1-900 number or something?
Where the worldwide line, I think you're talking
about. Yeah, we took over the WCW number after. Yeah.
OrderofLeviathanCult.com will have everything, but I mean, realistically, it's 2017, Order of Leviathan Facebook. If you like us, you're going to see all of our shit that we're doing. You can find our music on Amazon, on Bandcamp, iTunes,
Spotify,
YouTube. I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody in the band, but I don't really give a shit if you buy our music. I want you to hear our music and come see us live. That's what I want. I don't know how you feel
about
that.
It's the way I always
did. Yeah.
Was too. No. Because guess what? If you buy it, I don't see a nickel of it.
Yeah, I do not see a motherfucking dime of any of that stuff, and nor does anybody in the guys. Any money that we make in this band goes directly into the band to either finance merch, finance tours.
You guys have some of the sickest merch, by the way.
Yeah?
I'm not going to lie. That's why I was like, hey, man, if you got any like real satanic merch, go ahead and bring it over. And you guys did hook me up with a patch.
I don't have the merch with me.
We've been very blessed whenever it... We've been very blessed whenever it comes to merch, because our last album was made by fucking Jeff Whitehead, Leviathan.
Right.
The Leviathan himself, the one man black metal. Like, when you think of USBM, you typically think of Leviathan.
Right.
And I mean, he did our last album artwork, and that was fantastic. And locally, Dennis Pace, who's a fantastic tattoo artist, he's done a shirt for us and a few on Dustin himself.
Yeah. I'm kind of, I guess, a walking billboard for old Pace.
Yeah. So I mean, we've just been really blessed to work with a lot of really awesome artists.
Yeah. Well, I saw Dustin at the gym. Believe it or not, guys, listeners, I go to the gym sometimes.
I can confirm this.
Look, it's been confirmed. Dustin, who goes to the gym all the time.
Didn't we watch Vegas Vacation while on treadmills together?
That's true. Hey, has anybody ever told you your bad luck? You know, those are my mother's dying words, Clark.
The blue flame.
Oh, this one's even bigger than the red drink. But yeah, I saw Dustin with a sick Order of Leviathan hoodie. And I was like, man, tell me more. No. Did you get very far?
Okay, Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah, I just immediately quoted Grease. That's how it was.
But then show-wise, I believe our next one is September 29th.
Yeah, Louisville Death Fest, which is going to be in its second year.
Not to be confused with Louisville is Dead Fest. Now you have Louisville Death Fest.
Correct.
Yeah. You know what? I'm glad that you brought that up, because I almost just... I put three bullets down on my piece of paper, and we didn't talk about...
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be fantastic. Louisville Death Fest is always run. I don't know how many years it's been. I think it's three or four at this point. It's always been run. Our first drummer, actually, AJ Lucas, he's no longer in the band, but he's the guy that puts it all together. And he does such a good job getting so many high profile acts from around the country. It's a 2-day event. The first day is more kind of black metal, sludge, doom oriented, and the second day is more kind of progressive, technical death metal. But for me personally, in my taste, the second day is a real standout. You know, In Fairy, In Full Darkness, Cryptic Hymn. There's going to be some fantastic bands. And I mean, even on the first day, you know, when we're playing with Morbid Saint. Knock Mystium is making a special reunion.
Sunlight's Bane's playing.
Sunlight's Bane.
It's just all black metal bands, and you can't read the flyer, man. You have no idea what it is.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then, what was it, 2013? That was our first show?
Our first show, actually. I mean, it was a crazy first show we lucked out to be on, but it was In Full Darkness, Young and in the Way, Putrid Pile, the very first Louisville Death Fest. It was crazy.
And that's September 29th?
Yes.
September 29th, yeah. So that'll be the next chance to see us live. And
next chance to dance?
Next chance. That's what you got.
And at this point...
Wrestling.
We have no other live dates booked for 2017.
But it's early. It's early in the year, so...
We could... You know, I wouldn't say it's early, but, you know, I mean, we could easily add some... In the coming months. Yeah. But as of right now, that's the only one we have.
Yeah. Gotcha. I think we're going to do some studio time and hang out with our friend.
So. We're going to do some time. I did 6 weeks at Early Grace.
That's right.
I gotcha. Well, guys, you're definitely going to want to check out Order of Leviathan. Awesome dudes. I've had a great time. I thought this was an awesome podcast. And honestly, I wish it didn't have to end so soon. But that's just those are the breaks here.
That's just the way it is.
You got it. Man, that sounded so good. Thanks, that was great. Good job for me buying these mics to make you sound so good. Anyway, guys, check out Order of Leviathan at Louisville Death Fest. That is September 29th. If you're not into black metal, this is your chance to get into it, because
there's
so many bands there that you're definitely probably going to find something that you like.
I mean, we're not your average black metal band. You might want to give us a shot. Even if you're not a big fan of black metal, you might find something you like.
Absolutely. And guys, I appreciate you guys so much for coming over and hanging out. Let's just hang out after this. You guys don't have to go.
I got nowhere to be.
I'm going to go do wheelies out in front of
I'm going to be spinning donuts on my bike out of my hog. So yeah, guys. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining me today. And all of you guys out there listening, thanks so much for tuning in to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. If you haven't already, please like, share, and subscribe. It's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, iTunes, YouTube, wherever you get podcasts, whatever. It's like you said, it's 2017, dude. It's everywhere.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And check out my show. Check out Order of Leviathan. That's what's up. That's what the whole podcast is about. Make sure you check those dudes out. And yeah, if you know anything Jamie Foxx can't do, just go ahead and hit us up. Send us a message.
If you know anything that Jamie Foxx can't do, I don't want to hear it.
You know what? Just keep your mouth, keep your opinion to yourself, brother. That's what's up. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for tuning in. This has been the Sean vs. Wild podcast.
Thanks for having us on, Sean.
Hey, thanks for showing up, bro.